This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hi, this is producer Drew. So this was our first episode with a remote guest, and the experiment was, I would say, a 80% success. Near the end of the episode, you'll notice the audio quality will change a little bit on our guest's end. It was just something that was unavoidable, really nobody's fault. But everything is definitely perfectly understandable and listenable. But you'll just notice that in the last about 15 minutes of the episode. Cheers. Enjoy.
Halloween is more than a spooky experience. This week, Atwood Magazine explores the way our seasonal frights mingle by pairing ghostly albums with creepily delicious cocktail recipes. We invite you to bring out your inner ghoul as we approach the music we love from a devilish, frightening, and thoroughly spoopy perspective. So throw on your favorite costume and enjoy a cold one on us. I am your host, Anthony, and I am dressed in my favorite Halloween costume, that of a successful journalist. And I have my best friends here to enjoy the season with me as we dive into Tunes and Tumblers on this most hallowed of eves. And they are...
Ryan, your music connoisseur.
Pedro, your mixologist. Thank you for that audio candy corn you just gave us.
You're welcome. I actually wrote it down this time instead of winging it. But we wouldn't be complete without a special guest joining us all the way from Skype. She's a former event coordinator at Rubens Brews and current bartender at Aslan Brewing in Seattle. She also teaches beer classes at Seattle Beer School, does beer-based social media, and hosts the podcast Cheers to Beers, all while studying for her Level 2 Cicerone certification. Oh, and did I mention she's a beer judge for the BJCP? Please welcome to the pod, Jess Keller-Poole. Thank you so much for joining us, Jess.
Hi, guys. Wow. I'm so excited.
What we are up? Too. This is a big one for us. We're trying.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we've never had someone who's not only not in the same room, but not in the same state with us.
Also not in the same level of knowledge about alcohol.
Oh, I thought you were going someplace completely different with that.
Oh, no. She's like a pro. We are amateurs.
I'm trying. I mean, like, alcohol and drinking and bartending, like, it's all so subjective, which is why it's so much fun. So it's like, you don't have to be a professional. Like, what you guys are doing is awesome, you know? So that's what it's about.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, thank you for joining us. We know a little bit about alcohol, while Pedro does, but we're definitely, we're not beer experts by any means. And we thought, you know, if we're going to actually have a beer episode, we need someone who understands it, because that's not us.
Yes, yes, I'm here to provide the knowledge.
Perfect. But before we can do that, we need to catch up. It's been a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah. For us, I mean, we all went to school together. But Jess, I saw you, like, I want to say 3 years ago by accident.
That was unreal.
Yeah. So for our listeners, I was at Rubens like 3 years ago celebrating my birthday. And we were just sitting there and having a beer. And I'm like, I saw you behind the bar and I'm like, I think I went to school with that girl. And I like wasn't sure because it had been so long. I'm like, you know what? I've had a lot to drink. I'm going to go up and just be like, hey, is that you, Jess?
You did. I saw you in line and I was like, holy shit, is that Anthony? And then when you came to my POS, you were like, what's your name? I was like, Anthony, it's Jess.
Oh, yes. But for you guys, how long has it been?
Oh, God. It's probably been like 7 years, I think. Jess and I have a similar background in radio. We were both at the radio station at our alma mater. And Jess had one of the best shows, I think.
Oh, it was a good time.
Yeah. What was the name of your show again?
ad infinitum. Because yes. We just played whatever the fuck we wanted. It was like music with no limits. With our whole goal was just to have a good time. Like every time we got in the studio, sometimes there'd be a person before us that had all the lights really low and was all quiet and tired, and we're like, screw this, lights up. Like, oh, am I allowed to swear on this podcast?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, fucking lootly.
Yes. It was just all about having a good time.
But very quickly, before we continue, I think we need to give a pre-warning here. There might be some noise in the background because mm-hmm. we have chosen to record in a haunted, dilapidated building in Boyle Heights that was the site of a mass suicide. And so there's tons of bumping, there's tons of machinery, and we've done this to stay in character with the album we're going to be talking about mm-hmm. today. So we want you all to know that, and know that it's part of it. And that we expected it and welcome it. So don't complain. Don't email us.
Don't add us.
Don't add us.
Just a heads up. Our sound guy's gonna. Drew is gonna have an aneurysm here in a second. But I think we're. Well, I think it's good. It's all part. Yeah, I mean, yes, it's all part of the plan. So anyway. Just throwing that out there. And back to...
Yeah, but before we do a little bit of catching up, I just wanted to mention, I remember me and my friends listening to your show one night, and you just had Matt and Kim tickets that you were giving away, and we had to call in. We had to call in and answer a question, and we got the question wrong, but you still gave us the tickets.
Nepotism at its best.
Yes, it was perfect. It was a great show. Thank you for that.
Matt
yeah,
and
also when we would give away concert tickets, we would just do the most random things. We'd be like, call in and give us your best impression of a Black Panther. Like, just things that didn't make any sense because we just had tickets to give away.
Give me your social security number, please, and home address.
Yeah, the first four of your credit card. All right, so yeah, let's catch up a little bit. It's been a while for us too. 3 weeks, not as long as since I've seen you. But so, guys, what have you been listening to recently?
Oh boy,
I forgot to have this prepared, Ryan. You
what haven't we listened to? Really, I've been finally getting into the Lana Del Rey album.
Oh yes,
been diving into that Norman fucking Rockwell, I think that's a new thing to have an exclamation point behind your album title now, right? I mean, Hozier had the Wasteland Baby, and now it's Norman fucking Rockwell. So. I'm digging it. I love the kind of the sarcasm behind it, and it's been good as it gets overcast.
So what have I been listening to? Well, we all know that 2020 is going to be a big year for the dying dinosaurs of rock. The Hella Mega Tour is coming with Green Day and Fall Out Boy and Weezer, who all released tracks on the same day a couple of weeks ago. And I've been going through those. I really dig Green Day's in particular, Father of All. It sounds a little bit more like Foxborough Hot Tubs than they usually go.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Garage rock, Billy Joe's got that falsetto.
He's definitely using a lot of like his side projects to influence this.
Oh yeah, and like good, because mm-hmm. they tried to recapture the American Idiot heyday with Revolution Radio, mm-hmm. and really it's an okay record, but it doesn't hold up, and I don't find myself going back to it.
Yeah, well, on that, I also think like doing Uno Dos Tres was like a good idea, because it seemed like they sort of purged everything that they wanted to do, got it done, and now they're doing something different.
Perfect. Well, anyway, that's what I'm doing.
Pedro, what about you?
Oh,
what are you
listening to? I'm a huge Steven Universe fan, and Drew, I see you wearing that shirt, and I love it.
We were just talking about that.
Mm-hmm. I fucking love Steven Universe so much, and I watched the movie a couple weeks ago, I think, and it was great. My favorite part about Steven Universe is the music. The music is fucking incredible. And the soundtrack is on Spotify, so I've been listening to that a lot. I'm honestly not a huge musicals fan, to be honest, but I love Steven Universe so much, and the soundtrack
is great.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's something about this. It's not like musically. It is... Mm-hmm. And I was just saying before we started recording that I got married last year, and my husband and I's first dance was to, thank you, was to Love Like You, because we love the wow. show, and that song is so precious. And
I need you yeah. to stop, because that is like, seriously, you and me, it's weird that we've never met before.
Because we've been reading each other's minds all mm-hmm. week.
The
it's
whole
crazy.
Time. And we'll get into that when we talk about the drink, but it's been amazing. But yeah, yeah. Love Like You is like an ideal first dance song.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the soundtrack, yeah, it's the thing I love about Steven Universe music is it, while it does explain what's going on, it does it in such like a poetic way. Like it's
yes.
And you can listen to these songs apart from knowing what the show's about, and it would still be good music.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I've been really into the movie soundtrack lately.
Steven fucking Universe.
Cool. He's the shit. I love him so much.
So wait, now that we know that that was your first dance, we don't have to go too deep, but I want to know what the other choices were in your wedding. So what was the, did you do a garter toss?
No, we did none of that. I mean, our wedding was for pretty best, non-traditional probably. In the sense that it was super small. It was at my in-laws' property. They live up on one of the islands in the San Juan Islands in Washington State. With like a ton of property. So we were just like out in the forest, like everything was super DIY.
Wow. That's dope. Did you have to have a generator for it to get the music going?
No, because we hired a live band. I hired a jazz band from University of Washington. They were like grad students.
Did they play Love Like You live?
What's that?
Did they play Love Like You live?
Yes.
Holy wow. shit. Okay. This is like a new level.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's wow. Well, that is so cool. But in addition to that, like, what have you been listening to recently, Jess? What could...
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I've kind of been in a little bit of a rut. And mostly because I ride my bike to work. I've been riding my bike, like, all summer. So I need something to listen to that's keeping my energy up while I'm on a bike ride and, like, getting me stoked and ready to go into work. And so I've just been kind of, like, struggling to find something that matches my mood in that sense. So I've kind of been listening to Era, which is a, like a metalcore band, just because they get me going. They don't have any recent albums. I think their last album was in 2018. But that just is something that gets me going. I actually went on a little bit of a Misfits kick because they just had a concert just a little bit south of Seattle with like the OG band, like Danzig and
everything.
That's
right, yeah.
So I did a little bit of Misfits recently. I don't know. I think I've been into things that are really like funky, jazzy, R&B kind of feel, like Anderson .Paak, things like even like Blood Orange, which is funny because we'll get into Blood Orange later in the show. Steve Lacy, people like
show.
that are just like, yeah, easy listening, but like interesting, funky, got some different things going on. So
yeah.
And then the other thing I've been listening to, which is so random, it's so nerdy, is I've been finding playlists on Spotify that are like Nintendo lo-fi remixes.
Fuck yes.
I don't know, like it's just like so much fun to listen to. It's easy to like put on and do some work or like do some studying or whatever. Yeah, so I'm kind of all over the place.
Beautiful.
That's 8-bit Neil Diamond remixes. That's where it's at.
Dude, Sticker Brush Symphony, probably like the best Nintendo song ever.
Oh, Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And Jess, if you don't know, the way that Tunes and Tumblers works is that anytime you mention an artist or a song on the podcast, that goes onto our companion Spotify playlist. So just get nuts
one.
With it. Yep, this is gonna we're gonna have a lot.
It's gonna be a colorful one.
Well, hopefully we can keep it into theme with the holiday moving forward. But in order to do that, we need to get into the bar. If you don't know, Tunes and Tumblers is a bar. It is our bar. And in order to get into the bar, we need to get past the bouncer. The bouncer is, well, I mean, he's not really a friend of ours, but he is a constant character in our lives. He moves in and out of it.
He's my rock.
He is the it of our lives. He haunts us. He causes all kinds of problems constantly.
And his name is Gerald Highwater, and we need to show him your ID if we're going to get into the bar.
Okay, well, both of these are... I have two. Is that okay?
That's
Absolutely.
Totally...
Twice the...
If one doesn't work, we're going to just shove the other one in his face.
Okay, so this was my vertical ID from California.
Oh, wow.
This is, I look so, like, angry, and my hair is so fucking scenester. Okay, let's see if you guys can see this.
Oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
Oh, that's like Catch Me Outside.
Oh, that's good. Very good.
Dude, the other one I have, I don't even know, like, what this is from. It's a UCSB ID, but it's not an access card. Associated students. Apparently I was in associated students.
You didn't even know that you were in AS. You just woke up one day and you were like planning the lineup for extravaganza.
That's what the flow of drugs is like into that campus.
So same look, but better mood. Because here I'm smiling.
Yes.
Man,
dude, I used to wear so much eyeliner. Look at that shit. God.
I feel like we were friends like for a lot of your college experience, but I don't remember you ever looking like that.
Right? This had to have been like freshman year or something, because my hair looked like that in high school.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we all made questionable choices in high school. I made questionable choices.
Like any, I don't know, you're talking
last week.
Oh,
whatever.
Man. My ID, like even my passport photo. So I was like 22, 23 in that. Like I look at my haircut. I'm like, what the fuck? Was I going to like a student who was cutting my hair? Just
yeah, you
like
went to somebody campus cuts.
I went to the Paul Mitchell School.
Like somebody just dipped some straw in honey and just threw it on my head. Like, but we can get into that later. Well, it looks like Gerald either isn't paying attention or he's okay with this.
He's really into his book.
Yep. Always bring in a book that
he's
Gerald
reading flowers. He's reading Flowers of Algernon.
Flowers for Algernon.
Yeah. Just going.
Welcome to our bar.
Yes.
It may be a little divey and it may look a lot like a living room, but it's our home. And let's get the mood started. Ryan, tell us what is on the jukebox today.
So today we are listening to In the Flat Field, the debut album from the Godfathers of Goth, the Sultans of Sadism.
The Gothfathers.
The Gothfathers. Bauhaus, folks, ladies and gentlemen, Bauhaus. Influenced by dub reggae, German expressionism, and the Velvet Underground, this album laid the foundation for what many know as gothic rock today. A flurry of dirgy guitars, tribal drums, possessed vocals. The record combined the abrasive sound of punk with the theatricality of glam and a penchant for the dark, spooky, and disturbing, as Treble Zine so eloquently puts it. This is a group so committed to the darkness that they toured in a hearse, which they called the Bauhaus Mobile.
Oh my God.
Really?
You can't make that shit up.
That's amazing.
I mean, you know, Screamin' Jay Hawkins had the skull canes and did and came out on stage in a coffin, but I don't think he toured in a hearse. So.
Little bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poser. So many of you might know this group from their first single, A Certain Bela Lugosi's Dead, a brooding 9-minute tribute to the Hungarian-American actor who famously portrayed Dracula in the 30s. So before we dive in, we're going to give a little bit of history on this. And dear listeners, the group initially called itself Bauhaus 1919, named after the German art movement and the year of its inception. Band ended up using the Bauhaus School's black and white face logo as its own, formed by a couple of friends, just like us.
Oh.
Friends!
Yeah.
Daniel Ash and David Askins, who convinced their friend Peter Murphy to join the band, mostly because he had the right look. And if you've seen photos of him, boy did he.
boy, he did it.
Despite having no experience as a musician, he agreed and ended up co-writing the song In the Flat Field in the first weekend of rehearsals. And the rest, they say, folks, is history.
Yeah.
and this album received crucial support from the publication Sounds and John Peel. While I had that, NME hated it when it first came out. They called it 9 meaningless moans and flails. And the Top of the Pops announcer said, "We've indulged this band just a little too much at this point." That said, they touch just about everybody who can call themselves goth at this point. And that's there you have it, folks. That's what we got in the earbuds. That's what we have. That's what we're losing our hearing over today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real mood up in here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have in our heads. We're doing a silent disco tonight at Tunes and Tumblers.
Just got our headphones plugged in, and we're kind of just swaying a little bit with our heads down, just thinking about like how unfair our lives are. As
drinking coffee, smoking mm-hmm. cigarettes.
It sucks. I had to go to the mall with my mom to pick up her dry cleaning. Dude, life sucks, dude. Fuck.
I found a cat skeleton today.
Well, the music sounds appropriate for this time of year, but that's not the only thing that Tunes and Tumblers has to offer. And we have someone here who knows beer and someone here who knows how to mix cocktails.
How to put beer in things.
Yes. Yep. So, I don't know, I got this crazy idea. What if we take those two things and we... Oh, man, maybe we shouldn't. What if we put them together? I mean, can we make a drink?
Try it.
Can we make a drink that goes with gothic rock and Halloween?
It's a little too crazy.
Jess, do you wanna take the lead on this?
Okay, sure.
Go for it.
So
I mean,
yeah, when
I
was
you,
thinking,
we pretty much thought the same thing.
So when we were thinking about this, I definitely wanted to incorporate beer into a cocktail. I didn't just want to talk about beer, because this is Tunes and Tumblers. So the hardest thing about incorporating beer into a cocktail that I discovered is carbonation. You don't shake up beer. You don't want to be like mixing it a lot. That just causes disasters. So initially I was thinking, what's going to be the easiest way in terms of a flavor profile and also how to not interfere with the cocktail's body itself? So we kind of tossed a few things around, but we landed on sticking with a kettle sour, which is a Goza. It's a German style kettle sour that is made with sea salt and coriander. So there's already a few Ooh. Ingredients in there that kind of make it a little bit more complex. And for those who aren't familiar with sour beer, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's sour. But the cool thing about Gozas and Berliner Weisses, which are like same family, is that they're really low ABV. So you're always going to find them between 3% and 4%. So they're awesome for summertime because you can just slam them all day until you get heartburn. And and I thought it would just add a really nice acidic touch. It could be like the acidity aspect of a cocktail. So when Pedro and I were texting each other about this, somehow Blood Orange was both in our mind and suggested that. And like I had said, I wanted to do a lighter bodied like sour ale to incorporate the acidity for a cocktail. So Blood Orange, it's like a winter citrus. It's definitely starting to come into season right now. And then also, you know, blood, because gore and goth and Halloween and everything fun like that. So yeah, that's what we started with. And then we're like, okay, so what's going to go well with a light bodied sour citrus ale? And we both immediately thought a dry gin was going to work best with that. And I also kind of like the aspect of using a dry gin because that's the style that's used in London a lot. Like mm-hmm. London dry gin is what you're seeing when you order. It's like how bourbon's from Kentucky. Like dry gin is London. Exactly. And since we're talking about like OG goth bands and Bauhaus and their British bands, it just kind of like all came together really nicely.
Yeah, it was pretty perfect.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are we calling this cocktail that we have in front of us?
We even had the same idea on that.
Yes, I don't Jeez. Understand how like you were reading my mind. Yeah, so we went with Bloody Martyr.
Ooh.
You know, definitely to as an allusion to one of the songs on the album, and also because bloody, because we're doing Blood Orange Goza, and bloody is like a Britishism, you know. Yep. So it's just all coming together, fam.
Mm-hmm.
This is beautiful.
And we've also got a little bit of rosemary muddled in there, and I looked it up, and rosemary apparently was carried by people like to funerals, and I think death and decay is like a big
Ooh.
Sort of thing, like sort of a, definitely a theme in this album. And to sort of represent the decay, I do have some dried oranges on there that look like they're just dead as fuck. So this is kind of perfect.
Well, after a couple of these, I feel like I'm going to be dead as fuck. But before we toast, can you give our listeners, Pedro, just a very quick recipe? I mean, they can look it up
oh, yeah.
in the accompanying article if they felt like it, but some people don't have that time.
All right. So what it is it's you muddle a good amount of rosemary in there, sort of to taste as you like, but I would use as a good, like, at least an ounce, I think, of, like, rosemary leaves. You muddle that really well. You get 2 ounces of gin in there. You throw some ice on that with 2.5 ounces of blood orange juice, and you stir that for a while. Get those things mixed up really well. And then you double strain that into a glass. Today we're using these, like, big, dramatic stemmed glasses because why the hell not? It's goth. And then you pour about 2 ounces of Goza in there. I think, Jess, you're using Anderson Valley, correct?
Yeah, so that was my main idea. I was trying to find a brewery that distributed both in Seattle and L.A. Anderson Valley is in Northern California, so I knew and they're kind of like one of the first Gozas I think I ever had. They were kind of making this style. This style used to kind of be dead. It was very like a historical style, and it's kind of coming back into the mainstream because people are discovering that if you don't really like the traditional taste of beer, sour beer is kind of a good way to get into it. So yeah, I have the Anderson Valley Blood Orange. And which Goza did you guys pick up?
I picked up the Avery Brewing Company, El Goza.
Right. And that one was made with lime, right?
Yeah, this one's like a lime, like a very citrusy, more of a neutral flavor than like the Blood Orange from the Anderson Valley.
For sure. The Blood Orange is pretty mild on my end too. So it kind of just works out super nicely. And this is a pretty light-bodied cocktail. I mean, easy to drink for sure. And I think my favorite thing about doing this is I have my Goza can on the side. So like as my cocktail kind of depletes a little bit, I can just keep on topping it off with my Goza.
I was doing the same thing when I was testing it out yesterday.
Yeah, you have the whole can, might as well.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's our cocktail, the Bloody Martyr.
Well, it looks bloody delicious. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Clink. We just hit all of our glasses against the computer screen, and now I need a new computer.
That's cracked.
Damn you, HP.
Bad luck.
Well,
I know podcasts are not a visual medium, but I do want to mention the kind of the color difference between our cocktails because mine came out such an insane color. Like it is almost like magenta. It is bright, bright pink red. And it's just based on like where I got my oranges versus where you guys were able to get some blood oranges. But it's kind of fun to see like almost a regional difference between what our cocktails look like.
Yeah, and I had like the hardest time finding actual blood oranges. Like it
I did too, actually.
Sucked. So I ended up, but I did find a good like blood orange juice to work with. So worked out.
Jess, you put blood in the cocktail. Just don't stop trying to hide it, okay?
Oh, yeah. You guys didn't?
Fuck. Her husband's right next to her on the floor, just bleeding out.
Halloween's a magical time of year.
It is.
Sure fucking is.
The bodies hit the floor. So I want to talk, like, I want to jump into this music that we are listening to with our cocktails. I got to be honest, I was never really into goth rock growing up. What about you guys? Like, what's your background with the genre?
I think I heard, let's see, what did I hear first? I think I probably heard A Forest by The Cure first. That was probably like the first real goth song I heard when I was pretty young. If you haven't heard that one, folks, it's a banger. Check it out.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of worked backwards towards this. It was like, I knew The Cure, like New Order, you know, these kind of gloomy rock bands, a lot of them British for a reason. Mm-hmm. And then kind of like work. I'd never listened to this album. I don't even think I'd listened to Bauhaus before. And I think we may have all had the same experience when I put on this album. I was like, holy shit, I hear so many bands in this album. Like, it's crazy how influential it is for like something I didn't even quite know about.
Yeah, same. I think The Cure was probably my first exposure to it. And then
Anthony heard the She Wants Revenge, right?
That's the thing. Like, absolutely. I was listening to this and, you know, I think that... what I listened to that kind of like touched on the fringes of goth rock was kind of like the mid-2000s post-punk revival. So like Interpol, She Wants Revenge, like those bands that just kind of like had that same sort of affect. They weren't as gloomy, but I definitely heard like a lot of the angst from these bands.
Also the way that like the vocals.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, they're pulling from Peter Murphy and Ian Curtis of Joy Division for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Also, Joy Division was a band that I never got into. I just knew, like, oh yeah, every girl that I had a crush on in college, like, had a Joy Division shirt or poster in her in her dorm room, like, or just like, oh my god, that had to be a 500 Days of Summer like soundtrack item, wasn't it? Joy Division, or was that mostly the Smiths?
Probably mostly the Smiths. I don't remember Joy Division, but it sounds right. You know,
it's that era.
It's that era
of like artsy, disaffected men looking for their manic pixie dream girl to come and fix their whole life.
Jeez.
Looking for that infinite playlist partner.
Oh yeah. Oh.
There is like some weird correlation with like feeling that kind of mumblecore indie film like burst that happened in like the mid-late 2000s and that sort of music, because it was always like, no one understands me, and that's very much what a lot of these lyrics and bands sound like. But I'm not saying that in a bad way necessarily, because I do identify with it a lot, and I can put these albums on repeat and not get sick of them. So I don't know what that says about me, but
you're a Nora.
Here's the thing, like, I won't sit here and defend like a whole lot of these films and these stories that came from that time, but Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, through some cosmic accident, is associated with me and good luck. I've seen that movie like maybe 20 times, and literally every single time I watch that movie, something good happens to me immediately afterwards.
Seems incredibly on brand for you.
I think I noticed it around like the fifth time, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is a sacred film.
Yeah, dude, no, you've created like an energy bond between that, so now every time you're watching it, you're putting like this good karma out in the world, and it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy for yourself.
Also, that soundtrack is dope.
Or in your intro, when you were giving like the rundown of the band, and you were mentioning their influences, a big thing that I found interesting was like the really unique bass lines, and that felt like they were really pulling from other cultures, not in a bad way, but you know, like you're saying, like dub or like reggae, whatever. There really is so much happening in here, and I think because of that, the album's a little bit chaotic, but I like the chaos. It feels like unpredictable, and it feels like raw human emotion. You know, it's not a cohesive, overproduced album. It's very much like, these are all my feelings, and I need to get them out somehow, and here it is.
Exactly. It's like more about creating a mood in a space and just like sonic terror, which is what industrial is so much about, where it's not even necessarily how pummeling it is. It's just how much you can create a brooding sense of terror, like that song. So my favorite song is Small Talk Stinks on the album, which perfectly captures what, to me, and I'm sure to what a lot of people feel, you know, what small talk feels like, which is just like chaotic flurry of dumb sounds and sonic terror
kind of just
at
like
the same time.
You're kind of just like pelting like the facade of a building. Like you're not actually getting through it. It's just like everything that you're throwing at it just kind of bounces off. Like, how do we get past that hard shell and like get to the meat of you know, what we're doing here?
Well, I was going to say, like, I think you, like, building on what you said about space.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was when we were talking about Vampire Weekend, how they're really good at creating like a sense of space. I think this album is, I don't know, they do it in a very different way, but it does create like a, all these sounds are like so disconnected and everything, but it comes together to make, I don't know, listening to it, I get images of like this dark, gloomy industrial city where like everything's very bleak, no one's getting out, but they definitely create that with all the sounds in there, which I think is very intentional, obviously, but
I
wanted to kind of connect that to how I think that like goth rock influenced grunge in the Pacific Northwest, because the weather here is very similar to how it is in England, and it can be like that. Like, dude, everyone's always like, oh, Seattle, it rains so much. It's not the rain. The rain's not a problem. The problem is not seeing the sun for 7 to 10 days.
Yeah.
And you can never tell what time it is because there's always just an overcast grayness happening. So it could be 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It could be 8 p.m. It could be 6 a.m. You don't know. Everything kind of like feels very strange. It's like you're disassociating. Nothing quite makes sense. And that's kind of the feeling I get from this album as well.
Physical manifestations of depression.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. It really is.
I kind of want to take that one step further. So I was reading an interview with Peter Murphy where he was asked why they named the band after Bauhaus 1919. And he said it's because of the stylistic implications and associations. So notably, that school popularized the idea that form and function in art should be in harmony. And that's what he was referring to. How do you see that playing out in the music that we're hearing? Like, do you think that that is really coming together with goth rock and with Bauhaus?
It definitely evokes a feeling. I'd have to say, yeah, totally. Like, the sounds... Like, when I first was listening to the album, it was, like, sunny outside. It was still summer. It was, like, it was a whole different vibe than what I was actually listening to. But the music kind of fucked up my week.
And it feels like...
in a good way. But the music itself definitely, like, dictated what I was going to be feeling the rest of the day.
And it feels like fall came in full force today. I mean, for our listeners, today is the first day in LA that it has rained this year season.
Good for us.
Yes, good for us. But it's overcast outside. It's a little bit dismal, but it's kind of great. Like it's setting the mood perfectly. Like I feel like everything surrounding the topic and the drink, it's all in perfect harmony.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny to think, like, that makes sense, but thinking of this album in relation to perfect harmony almost doesn't, like, I don't think of perfect harmony at all when I think of this album. But in regard to what you're saying, that makes sense.
Well, I think sometimes discord can be harmonic, if that makes sense. Like, if that's the intention.
Right.
You know, you look at their aesthetic, like these guys look like vampires in 2005 when they were at Coachella, like Peter Murphy was lowered from the rafters upside down, like over over his microphone, like a frickin' vampire. Like it's all just everything about them just creates this mood of despair and angst. And
he truly lives for the drama.
Drama. That's the perfect word.
That's why it's so great when you have people who are more like maybe performance artists or involved in like theater or are more concerned with the art movements. You get so much more interesting results. Like I'd mentioned in the intro, this guy didn't have any, never written a song in his life. He's just like working at a printing factory. Peter Murphy, that is. And he's like, yeah, you know, sure, I'll give it a go. And he goes out and it's like the most interesting thing anyone's ever seen. And you know, like in terms of the theatricality, not a lot going on like that. Before. I mean, you have people kind of experimenting with certain thing, like dark themes. Dark themes have been around forever, you know.
I think it makes all those choices much more meaningful.
Yeah.
And like impactful.
Exactly. And he like said in another interview where he's like, "Oh, what, you know, I think he said something about the British in general about being able to take so many different influences and absorb them and create something completely new from it."
You know, and like colonialism.
Yeah, true.
And on that note, All right, I think we're like coming to the end of our time here. It's getting close to last call, but
I'm
it
really
looks
sad.
Like, yeah. Oh no, I still haven't finished this cocktail. It is so smooth, and yet like,
oh boy,
it is messing up my morning.
I've had two.
Oh, so I heard that you wanted to do a little segment. Do we want to do that first?
I think we should do it first, especially since this last call, and this is a very good last call drink.
Okay.
Great.
Just tell me what to do.
Okay, so I had Pedro pick up some Underbergs.
Oh, no! I remember when you made me do this.
Oh, my God, Anthony, I made you do this?
Yeah, we, like, went out to that one, like, tap room, and
we
you're
to,
like,
we
got
to
do Underbergs. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I'm so excited. So, y'all are in California. I don't know what the bar scene is like in LA, but at least in San Francisco. Well, just in general, let's back up for a second. Amaro is a really big bartender's drink. It's great for cocktails, for adding dimension in a cocktail, but the purpose of an Amaro is a digestif. So you have one at the end of the night to help you like digest all your food and be able to like go to sleep comfortably. In this case, up in Seattle, we do Underbergs, which is a little tiny bottle, that it's technically bitters, so you can purchase these if you're under 21, because technically they don't have, like, based on the volume and the alcohol level, the way you could buy, like, Angostura bitters, and you don't have to be 21. Nice. But this comes in a little bottle, and we shoot it because, I don't know, we're, like, masochists. And so, like, in San Francisco, all the bartenders do Fernet. In Seattle, we all do Underbergs. And it's particularly popular in the beer industry because beer makes you full, right? So the goal is to do an Underberg, help you digest a little bit so you can keep on drinking.
Beautiful. I love that it comes in a little bag, like I'm going to just be walking down the street like with little like yes. travel size of Mickey's.
It's a mini bar Mickey.
Exactly. So we always give it a little bit of a shake to kind of mix it up all the herbs that are in there. Twist it off, and then we're going to shoot it straight from the bottle. Okay. For those who haven't done an Underberg, the best way to get through it, and personally, I like the flavor of Underberg. It's really intensely herbaceous, a lot of black licorice notes, so sorry in advance. And to get through it, remember it's 9.5 chugs, so you can always count if you're not enjoying it, and hold it at a 45-degree angle for the best shooting purposes.
Beautiful. All right.
Are we ready?
I think we're ready. Right. Are you going to count us down?
Okay, let's cheers to the, through the screen.
Cheers.
Woo! Okay, cheers.
Cheers.
But with, oh, my.
Oh, man. I feel that all over my body.
That was 9.5. Wow.
Whew.
Holy shit.
I've been doing this. Also, a little phrase at the bottom of the bottle says to feel bright and alert. So we can tackle the rest of our day, friends. We're feeling bright and alert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have to go to work now. I have to go to work.
Oh, man.
But before we go to work.
It feels like some Jägermeister just like fucking got his friends and kicked my ass.
Yeah, but better than Jäger. Jäger's nasty.
Yeah, that's for true.
So, but before we tackle the rest of our day, we still have to play our favorite game. And that game is hashtag mood. Hey, will one of you gentlemen hold up Mrs. Potts so that Jess can see?
This monstrosity. Actually, Mrs. Potts
is
the most goth.
I cannot wait to see her. Can I see her?
It's the most goth thing of this.
It's so Bauhaus got into the studio having never worked with clay before, and they made a replica of Mrs. Potts. And now she serves as our arbiter of moods.
She's a fucking icon.
She is.
Truly. When I texted Drew last night with my suggestions, I called her the deformed teapot, and I think I was right.
Oh, yeah. No, you right on.
That sounds like a Bauhaus song.
Deformed teapot.
Deformed teapot.
Coming soon.
We'll see you on about.
All right.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take the hat off Mrs. Potts, and inside are a bunch of pre-written moods. Each of us is going to take one of those moods, and we are going to create a Spotify playlist of 4 songs to go along with them. So who wants to go first?
Ladies first, I think. Guests?
Okay, yeah, maybe it'll be less intimidating if I go first.
All right, so just so you know, we have sent Jess her mood. We have chosen it for her and sent it to her, since she cannot physically reach through this broken screen and grab Mrs. Potts.
Thankfully, the carrier pigeon got there today.
For the auditors at KPMG and Ernst & Young, we've done this properly. We've abided by all the rules.
All right, Jess, take it away.
All right. You've been chosen to participate in a beta version of Facebook's new dating service, which allows you to choose 8 quote-unquote crushes. If one of them also chooses you, you're each notified. You choose a former high school teacher.
Oh, no!
Class, as they say, is back in session.
Which one of you monsters wrote this?
That's Ryan. That's
clearly Ryan. So this is a strange one, something that's really hard to match some moods to. But what I immediately think of is my senior year of high school, there was a substitute teacher who came in for one of my teachers. It was like a computer animation class or something super random.
The
and
sub is how you do
was
it.
Smoking. Like, he clearly had like just gotten out of college, or like this is his first like teaching gig or whatever. And
he hadn't given up yet.
So I, and this is just all over the place, but I decided to classically go with another brick in the wall, because like at that point, am I paying attention in class? Like, am I just distracted by the topic he's teaching? Like,
wow,
I don't need no education.
Very good.
And then the song by Benny Sings called Dreamin'.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love Benny
so
Sings.
Very dreamy. Like, am I dreaming? Like, oh, what is happening right now? But then also Confused by Kid Cudi, because also what the fuck is happening right now? And then gonna just round it out by a song from J. Cole, No Role Models, because at this point, like, should I be excited? Should I be creeped out? Like, were you a role model? Were you a good teacher? Or is this just like disgusting? So.
Oh, to be young.
I always love guest moods.
Dude, that's so good. Is there one more?
That's no, it. That's four.
Wow. I wanted more. It's so good.
All right. So
that's easily like a 25 song playlist.
What is, which of us has the enviable position of going next?
I'll go next.
All right. Grab it.
Just because Jess and I were so close in finishing this. It was a race. All right. So it's Taco Tuesday. You forgot the upside down exclamation point to start this. Whoever wrote this.
There's no alliteration in Spanish.
All right. It's Taco Tuesday. You celebrate the only way you know how. $5 margaritas at your local cantina. But now it's several hours later and you come to in a Van Nuys dealership parking lot without your phone or pants. Give us a playlist that tells the story of your blackout.
Actually, sounds like Mondays.
So I went a little bit outside of this, and I guess I have reading comprehension problems, because I decided not to tell the story of it, but I decided to tell the story of the aftermath a bit. So basically, so we're going to start out with King Missile's detachable penis.
Which that is a classic story.
It's about a guy who loses his penis. It's a K-Rock. It was a K-Rock classic back in the day. So, you know, it's just, it captures that vibe of not knowing what happened, and sincerely, like, where is that? Where is it? I can't figure it out.
I saw my All penis right. lying on a towel next to a broken toaster oven. Somebody was selling it.
Yeah. That's a lyric from the song. And followed that, I'm going to go with Tuesday's Gone by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Because let's face it.
It's gone. The day's fucking shot. Famously covered by Metallica and Garage Inc. Followed by Friendship is a Small Boat in a Storm by Chicano Batman. Because in this story, I mean, you're at Taco Tuesday with people and friends, and you just end up in a dealership parking lot with no phone or pants. What kind of friends do you have that let that happen?
Sophia probably knew what happened.
Yeah, my friend Sophia would have turned the other cheek and walked out, not giving a shit. So there's that. And then I'm going to end on an interesting note with one from Car Seat Headrest.
Ooh.
The song is Los Barachos. And in parentheses, I don't have any hope left, but the weather is nice. And that's certainly something you can make of yourself when you're in a position like that. And you're in the beautiful town of Van Nuys, California.
So I really appreciate that all of your moods kind of end with a little bit of optimism. Mm-hmm.
They have to.
And it would be in Spanish if you're in Van Nuys.
Yes. So that's my mood.
Said the word Van Nuys car dealership, all I could think of, and I don't even know if this is still a jingle on the radio, but there used to be a jingle that was like keys on Van Nuys.
yes yes, I grew up with that. That was the Barbara Ann Keys song.
Oh my god,
so good. Wow, how did you know that? You didn't grow up, you're Isoka?
No, I don't know, I think I heard it on the radio one time. I honestly don't know how I know that.
That's crazy. That's such a local thing. That's not like, you'd only hear that in SoCal. That's wild. Love it.
I got Jess's mood. And the mood is getting off work on a Friday and you actually have plans.
Damn.
You guys, this was
get
last
his ass.
Night for me. 8 p.m. And I'm like, oh shit, like what am I about to do tonight?
Whoa. So, yeah, that like Friday nights like that are exciting. That's the most exciting thing. So I'm imagining I'm probably at work at the moment, just, you know, working that 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. Like, what a way to make a living. And I'm just waiting to clock out.
Hell yeah.
I'm just waiting for 5 o'clock to come through. And then it does. and I just got paid. It's Friday night.
Ooh.
But I'm talking about the NSYNC cover from No Strings Attached.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm ready to go. So I go home, and I got my friends with me, and we're getting ready. We're getting that the nails, hair, hips, heels by Todrick Hall, and we're fucking, we're ready to go. We're strutting. We're gonna catch us a man's tonight. And I mean, since I woke up, I've just been waiting for Tonight by Jennifer Lopez.
Wow. What a playlist. Could you have envisioned that from writing that moon, Jess?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
I imagine it would be the exact same. I think me and Jess never met because we're literally the same person.
No, yeah. Like, and if we ever meet in person, like, our realities will just collapse.
Mm-hmm, it'd be a weird black hole would just show up and everything would be destroyed.
It would be the Berenstain universe.
It's a good thing you live in another state.
All right, I gotta bring up the rear. Okay, so my mood.
Bring up the
hot.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so this is quite the mood. Here we go. You're halfway into the Grizzly River Run whitewater raft ride at Disneyland when the ride gets stuck. You call for help, yet they've just initiated a strike and walked out of the park. It's now up to you and the family from Newberry, South Carolina to make it back to dry land alive. Score this scenario better than John Williams.
Ryan, for real, what the fuck?
I imagine he's just like Hunter S. Thompson. He just he just goes into his room, snorts a bunch of cocaine, downs some rum, and is just like...
Yeah.
And just the pen becomes possessed.
He just sits at a typewriter.
Just like his cigarette holder, just like puffing smoke. Oh, man. Okay, so I think I've got like a whole story for what happens here. So the first is, you know, we've been stuck for a little bit and we just realized that there's no one in the park. And we're not going to take it by Twisted Sister.
Oh.
We're going to get off this ride. But really, it's just me because I got into the single rider line because fuck all the chuds who wait in line for an hour to get on a ride. And it's me and this family from South Carolina. And I turn to them and I grab the matriarch by the hand and I say, "Be My Escape" by Reliant K.
Wow. Jeez.
My favorite part of that song is the end. With the little piano.
Oh, I thought you meant when it's over.
No, literally like the very end when it's just the piano.
Whatever happened to them? Oh, who cares? Moving on. But we're on the Grizzly River Run, and the only way out is swimming. So we're going to band together, and we're going to become a swim team by Arms and Sleepers.
Nice.
Yes. But if you've ever been on the Grizzly River Run, it is a treacherous ride full of rapids and waterfalls. And you know what? Toward the end, we're gonna have to sacrifice one of our own to get off this ride.
Oh my god.
And I push one of this clan to their death, and by that we are able to climb out and live. But I'm going to pay tribute and with Sudden Death in Carolina by Brand New.
Oh wow.
This person is dead right next to the emergency exit.
It's like the last scene of The Mist. Spoiler alert.
Oh god.
The whitewater rapids run red. Wow,
truly grizzly.
Disclaimer,
to kill for some reason.
I don't know if I'm actually capable of this, guys. I'd probably be the one to go over the falls.
Poor little 8-year-old Abernathy died because Anthony couldn't get out any other way.
Abernathy is too many syllables for somebody living in North Carolina or South Carolina.
We'll go with Algernon.
Algernon. Oh wow.
Jeez.
That's hashtag mood. Listeners, let us know on Twitter or Instagram or wherever you follow us which one of us you think had the best mood of the week. Hint, it was me.
Ooh.
Well,
shots fired.
That sound that only we can hear means that it's last call and it's time to chug these Underbergs and these bloody martyrs and get the heck out of here. But before we do that, any sort of lingering thoughts? What do you guys think about Bauhaus, about Halloween? What are your favorite movie monsters?
Billy Butcherson from Hocus Pocus.
That is the only answer.
Yeah, I'm not going to follow that.
No, I thought that this was a really good album to kind of take on because for a lot of people may not be familiar with them. Hopefully this is kind of giving some insight to listeners and also just kind of like exposing that a lot of the most influential bands aren't that well known. So kind of like to step outside your comfort zone and like do your research and do your history. I know that sounds nerdy as fuck, but whatever. And, you know, you get to like evolve and understand and really like put music in its place in terms of like maybe the bands you love a lot, you had no idea that they were influenced by these dudes from the 70s or the 80s. So I really enjoyed it. Again, I thought it was like a really fun, emotional, raw, chaotic album. Made me super excited for spooky season. And yeah, thanks Ryan for like pitching this because it was really fun to delve into.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Ditto to all of that.
Yes. I wanted to cap it off just with a quote from postpunk.com, who did a really good video on the 40-year anniversary of Bela Lugosi's Dead. And he basically said that Bela Lugosi's Dead is Freebird or Stairway to Heaven for goths. And I love that.
Yes.
Any other thoughts, Ryan or Pedro?
I think Jess summed it up pretty perfectly, to be honest.
Beautiful. Let me down this and... I think that's it for us today.
Thank you for coming on, Jess.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, despite all of our technical difficulties, thank you for being here.
Oh my God, thank you guys so much for having me.
So before we go, Jess, do you have anything to plug this week?
I absolutely do. My podcast, Cheers to Beers, you can get it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Listen, rate, subscribe. If you're a real one, maybe you'll do that. But the whole thing of my podcast is... you're drinking a beer with friends. Maybe you don't know these friends yet, but maybe also at the same time, you're home alone and you just stopped by your bottle shop. Maybe you went to a local brewery, picked up like a crowler or some bottles, and you just want someone to drink with. So that's what we do. And it's a really good time. My latest episode gets kind of technical in terms of like wild beer, but I also have some other guests that are just friends hanging out. So give a listen if you want to learn more about beer or if you just want some friends to hang out with while you're drinking beer. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at JessJessBeer. And also give Seattle Beer School a follow at Seattle Beer School. I know maybe a lot of people don't live in Seattle that are listening to this, but we always put really fun content up and just a fun way to like get to know more about beer if you're interested in it.
Sweet.
Beautiful.
And if you need more friends to drink with on your pod, I mean, you have three right here.
Hey.
We don't have to let this party die.
We should do it.
Hell yeah.
We are down.
Yeah, talk to our agent. That's Drew. He's right over there.
That's producer Drew Bear.
Professor Producer Drew Bear. Thank you for tuning in to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials. That's at Atwood Magazine on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and also Tunes and Tumblers. And if you've got anything that you want to tell us specifically, hit us up on tunesandtumblerspod@gmail.com. We love getting emails from y'all and responding to them. Tunes and Tumblers was produced, as always, by our lovely producer, Drew Franzblau. Our theme song is Longing by Joaquim Carude. Cheers.
Cheers.